I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm very pleased to have with me on Research Matters today Dr. Josiane Kutaya. Just a few words about her. She's a senior lecturer in sociology here at the university, and her areas of teaching are tourism and development, social inequality, sociology of race and ethnicity, sociology of gender, contemporary sociology, and sociology of media. This year, her research has centred around the Echo Godzo research project concerning Gozitan women. She co-edited Transitions in Maltese Society with George Kassar, and forthcoming is the Needs Assessment Survey of Borna. She's also a mother of a four-year-old, a little girl, if I remember rightly, and she helps to run the Bir Mula Heritage Museum, a social history museum in Bormla. Certainly a very busy life.
Yes, I need some free time.
I read a little bit of some of the material which regarding your latest research, and I saw that you have looked into the position of the feast in Malta, and that led you then to look into certain problematics or issues involved with the feast. Certainly the feast has been in the news very much lately, so I suppose it makes everything rather topical. Mm-hmm. How did you develop this project? How did it come out? Where did the idea come from?
Well, there was a conference on social capital, and I live in Bormla. I'm not from Bormla, but I live there. One of the reasons is usually when you go to live in Bormla, either because you want social housing or your partner originates from there. And this came out in the needs assessment survey. Anyway, and I needed to find what is social capital? Social capital is social networking, the people you interact with and what it does to a community. The more the people volunteer in the community advances. But you need also to network outside the community. You need networks within the community. And you need relationships outside with politicians, with the media, with people who can invest within the community. And I said, which event would the community really participate in? And the event every community participates in is the feast. So I compared two cities in the Tricity area. Virgo, which is according to the people in the Tricities, advanced more than the others, and Bormla, where I live in. And I tried to find out whether people volunteer in any projects within their communities. And I found that certain issues enabled Birgu to establish itself as a tourist resort or a tourist attraction with the help of leaders within the community itself and the community itself. Like, for example, one of the events which enabled Birgu to attract tourists was it was the cleaning up campaign and then the greening of Birgu, that is putting plants all over the place. At the same time, the government was already investing in Birgu with the renovation of the Maritime Museum and the Inquisitor's Palace. So these were taking place in conjunction with each other. And then there was the Cottonera waterfront project. There the government released its property, so the Cottonera project could continue, while the part of Bormla and Isla was a little bit problematic, because once in Isla, a lot of the waterfront is privately owned, and the waterfront in Bormla is owned by the dockyard, which didn't want to relinquish its property, so they had to stop at the Birgu frontier. But at the same time, you see that a lot of the community participates because it's involved in projects which are taking place in Birgu. In feasts, for example, the feasts were a shoot-off for other cultural events which are conducted or led by the community itself, which attracts tourists, and then tourists buy into the facilities which are already there, like the restaurants in the waterfront or the wine bars, which cropped up quite recently.
Yes, I mean, until recently, even in Bugel, which, as you say, is perhaps now the most inadvertent,
the leader,
advanced of the three cities, as a social indicator, the fact that they didn't have a restaurant until really quite a few years ago.
Like if you read reports in the newspaper in 2001, when the casino was going to open, one of the reporters said, oh, we're opening a casino in a deprived area, and it's going to like attract gamblers within the community, and these are people who cannot really afford to gamble. So it's going to promote gambling within a community which is already on the fringes of poverty. The issue with Bormla is people do participate in the creation of a feast, but do they have the leaders to lead them beyond the feasts? Do they have contacts from outside the community which are helping them to promote themselves? Or perhaps are these contacts a little bit ashamed of promoting the interests of a community from which they derive? Because when it's a socially deprived community, you don't really want to be associated with it, like being a Gozitin, and at the same time you don't want to help the Gozitins, because you don't want to feel that you are promoting a subjective interest. Anyway, from the interviews I conducted with the community leaders, I realized that both communities have problems, but the problems within Bormla surpass those of Bugel.
Bormla as an area does not, prima facie, seem to have as many perhaps historical
it
buildings.
It has, but nobody is promoting
exactly.
them. There's Verdala, for example.
They're there, but they're not
nobody
so
knows
obvious.
About them. Yeah. There's Verdala, for example. Somebody was interested in promoting it as a tourist attraction from the private entity. It was a fortress. Built first, part of it was built by the knights, and it was added on to by the British, and it's a fortress within a fortress, because Bormla is surrounded by two fortification lines. It has around 15 kilometers of fortification. Nobody knows about them. They are still pristine because nobody has developed them. So we have ramps in order to take up the cannons. Unfortunately, though, some people are abusing of them, and we want to get there before some worse damage is done. There's an underground Byzantine chapel. Nobody knows about it. It was found by people from the public works when they were excavating to do trenches for drainage system. And there are little bits and pieces. For example, Bermula Heritage. It was a find. My husband and his mother were searching for alternative accommodation, and when they excavated the basement, they found a kitchen deriving from the Arab times. It is a recycled building. Every era adds a part to it. Of course, a hat was used then by servants for the owners within the night spirit in Malta. From there, then I decided that something needed to be done about Bormla. So I decided on my own initiative and finances, it's been an expensive enterprise, to do a needs assessment survey of Bormla. I hear a lot of people grumbling, but then nobody wants to tie, in Maltese we say, the bell or the jol-jol to the cat's neck. So I wanted to find out what the people think needs to be done, and from there then we need to disseminate the information to the leaders within the community, which is the local council, and the various ministries which are involved in providing certain services, like the social work, people who are doing a lot of work in Bormla, but perhaps they are understaffed, since there are a number of problems created by a lot of social housing, because Bormla is the second highest area with the highest number of social housing units after Valletta. And if you have a lot of social housing, it means that there are people who needed help. So you need to provide the people to help them.
The survey that you did, I had a look at it, a copy of it, and it's actually quite long and quite complex, and you went into quite a lot of detail and met quite a few areas that you went into.
Because they are interlinked. If you have social housing, it means that you are bringing people of a certain culture together. What does it do to the culture of that community then? And you had a lot of out-migration, so immigration of a certain type and out-migration of another social group. So then what remains? A culture which is welfare dependent and might be promoting this welfare dependency. Then it becomes the main culture in a community. We don't want that. We want people who are economically independent with ideas of what they want to do with their time and their money. And we want people who obey laws. So you tell me every area has its problems. I'm interested in Bormla because I live there. And I face certain problems which the rest of the community faces. One of them is, for example, drugs. One of the main problems that came out was drugs, neglected children, loitering teens. What does this mean? If you have loitering teens, it means that they do not have access to recreational facilities. We have a sports complex, the Cottonera Sports Complex in Bormla. Can these youths access this complex? If they don't have the money, can they really access it? So all these problems are linked. If they don't have anything to do, what do? They have to find other ways of entertaining. And drugs might be one of it. If you are poor, you need to escape from your poverty. So either you resort to alcohol or to drugs. Poverty means mental stress. And from some statistics I was looking at, but at some time ago, I think they were a little bit dated, it shows that there are a number of people with mental health problems in Bormla. It peaks up there. If you are poor, it also means that you are more likely to have disabled children, or you're going to become disabled at an earlier stage. Why? Because if you're poor, you're going to go into jobs which are dangerous, which other people don't want to do, but they are paid peanuts sometimes, and you're exposed to material which is cancerous, or it can have an effect on your breathing, like asthma is quite high. Thanks probably to exposure to the dockyards and what used to happen there. So these are issues which are all interlinked.
Who did you actually ask to fill in the survey? Did you go around literally knocking on doors? Did you have focus groups? How did you go about it?
My poor students had to do the surveys. I did quantitative, that is, you draw up a representative sample of people who are living within Bormla. And my students conducted it. I paid them, of course, because I don't want to do this to exploit students. And while this was being carried on, I was doing interviews with service providers to find out which problems they face when it comes to provide a service and what they think the community needs from their overall pattern, from what they perceive in their daily contact with clients. Of course, I also conducted interviews with community leaders and perusal of statistics which are already there. So I was continuously in contact, for example, with DCMRU, who provided me with statistics on the type of crimes which are happen in Bormla, which is really petty theft. We don't have violent crimes every now and then, yes, like every other place. DCMRU, the health also provided me with indicators on the weight of babies and the mortality and morbidity rates to see whether the lack of access to material resources was having an effect on babies and the average age of the people in Bormla. Education statistics, like we have one of the second highest rate of absenteeism.
And the least number of students that come to university.
Yes. And if you see the dropout rate, it's alarming. they begin and they stop within the first year. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of interlinked problems, as I'm saying. What am I going to do with it?
That's going to be my next question.
At the moment, I'm compiling the statistics, which I hope I will be able to present to politicians. These are the policymakers and people within ministries who are who are doing certain things, like the education ministry, the family and solidarity ministry. We're supposed to be meeting, I hope, on the 28th of January. That will be like telling these service providers what are the problems. In summer, I hope I will have the time to conduct a program on a community radio in order to disseminate further information to the community and ask their feedback. So this is going to be a live program. And of course, in the meantime, we have to start visiting face to face the policymakers to inform them what is going wrong according to the community and what the community wants to be done.
What do you feel are the positives? I mean, we've spoken about the negatives, which is obviously, you know, what you've been saying, and that's quite valid. Did you find that there were positives? You mentioned, for example, the community radio. Would you consider that as a positive aspect of local development?
What I found is the amount of services found in this tiny area of Malta. There are social workers, there's a clinic for everybody, there are schools, three types of schools. These are state schools. In the past there was also St. Edward's, which was part of Bormela. What else? There were some, and they said, there are a lot of facilities here, but are the people aware of what's provided?
Perhaps a local radio is really a very good way of disseminating.
And the local council. I realized that a lot of people go to the local council for information. There's a library as well, which I hope it's going to open quite soon, because if you have a closed library in an area with a high rate of illiteracy,
not much point.
Uh-huh. And I would like private sponsors. When I go to the library, I usually meet the name of Martin Bugelli. He donates a lot of books to this library. I hope other people become interested.
My contact is not so much with Bormla. I don't know Bormla so well. I know Birgo a little bit better. So I've been interested, obviously, in the Maritime Museum and the Inquisitor's Palace and walking around Birgo, which mm-hmm. is something I do quite often every time I have guests. I always take them to Birgo because it has such historical significance.
Until the Knights' time. I think the British developed Bormla. Of course, there are remains from the Knights' time, but Bormla is a British-like empire. Mm-hmm. A lot of investment by the British there.
And I find that the people of Birgo, I knew some of them before this renewed interest in the area, and, mm-hmm. and I know them now. And I must say that they take a great interest and pride in the historical places that they've got.
Now. Because that's an issue that came in the first paper I wrote. Before outsiders started taking interest in Birgu, the Birgu people didn't appreciate what they had. So it's like tourism in Malta. What did it do to old farmhouses? We would have destroyed them all if the tourists hadn't shown an interest in these old farmhouses. Mm. It's the same. If you see your image reflected in a mirror, and the mirror is what other people are saying about you, you'll start to appreciate more what you have. And I think a number of Maltese outsiders are coming into Bormla because they see so much richness. For example, there are some very beautiful houses from the 18th century. And if you go into them, they are impressive, like marble, a lot of stone sculpture.
The house prices in Birgo are prohibitive.
In Bormla, they are becoming prohibitive. And these are huge, immense houses, because Bormla was the center for professionals before the war. The war destroyed a lot of things, so the professionals moved out.
What do you think about the gentrification issue of Bormla particularly.
Even Virgo, when you have gentrification, certain people are going to lose out. For example, taking the example of Virgo, when the prices of housing started to go up, the younger generation couldn't afford to buy a house there, so they had to move out. So some of the people who are involved in the Festa creation were a little bit worried that if the young move out, the feasts won't be conducted in the future, because the outsiders don't have so much interest in the feasts. It's like Slima, for example. Slima is made of patches of people who are transient. Some of them don't live there. If you have transient populations or people come from outside, they might not have this community pride to promote themselves.
It certainly might take some time to develop.
Yes, the second generation or third.
I know people who are living in Zeebrugge, first generation living in Zeebrugge, who would be part of the gentrification issue, mm-hmm. Who actually have become interested in the feast, but maybe their children would be even more interested. So one could start a different dynamic there, really.
Yeah, I think because the Bormla people differentiate between us and them. I would be a them because I'm an outsider. This differentiation came when social housing started cropping up after the war, and people from outside came in, and then there was like a wall erected between the them, which they didn't want to be there, but they are there now. They are good citizens, and I don't know why we should label all everybody with the same paintbrush.
Well, obviously the war ruined that normal social mix in the whole of the three cities area.
And you don't have like a differentiation now of social classes. You seem to have a bulk of one particular social class. Mm. And if there isn't a mix, then
it skews that usual social cohesion that there would be in a sort of a normal, in inverted commas, a normal mixed town or, mm-hmm. or village, I suppose.
Somebody needs to invest money in Bormla. Who's going to do it, outsiders or insiders? If, for example, in one of the interviews, I found out that one of the Birgu entrepreneurs gave one of the band clubs 1/4 of €1 million for a new bandstand. Outsiders are not going to do this kind of philanthropic measures.
Probably there needs to be an input from outside so that people from inside can do the job.
And governments have to set the path. If governments neglect certain communities, the communities become very depressed. Nobody. One of the key statements made to the students who conducted these surveys was, everybody has forgotten us. Really? We are the forgotten people of Malta. And that was giving, like, there is a communal depression, which is, of course, reflected in the way we treat the environment. Nobody cares.
This project now, as you say, will carry on. If you have time, perhaps in summer, you'll be working on it in different ways. And hopefully it will give life to, if you can place it in the right places with the right people, it will give life to further investigations.
Yes, because one person cannot do a lot.
And as you say, the local councils, if you can get the local councils on board.
I think the ones who are really interested are the Association of Local Councils, because they realize that this can be done in different local councils. In fact, the Dingley Local Council did something similar, but on a crime basis. What types of crime are taking place in Dingley and why? For example, crime was just one issue in this survey. Because like that, you can target what needs to be done. It's not just somebody decides that because he's the representative mm-hmm. or she's the representative of a community, this is what the community wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the couple of minutes that we have left, perhaps we can move on to a workshop that I know you want to talk about. I knew you first from the Gender Issues Committee, mm-hmm. and I know you also from the Women's Study Group, and that I know that gender issues are close to your
close to my heart.
And that you you're working on something that's an upcoming workshop.
The Women's Study Group is bringing in a Dutch foreign expert on time management for women. And this workshop is going to take place between the 7th and the 8th of December from 9 till 4 in Bilmoula Heritage, Bormela. People who are interested in this workshop can contact me. The workshop is going to be on resocializing women's mentality, that we don't have to take everything on board. We can delegate certain tasks.
I better come to this,
yes.
This workshop.
Because we think that we need to manage other people's lives and issues. This is like a resocialization and a training workshop as well, because the people who attend will be then asked to retrain other people from within the community on these issues.
Who would you like to see at the workshop, though? Who are you imagining would be the target audience, so to speak?
The target audience are women who are involved in too many things. And women who feel that with all these issues on board, they are not really self-actualizing themselves. They're not finding self-actualization because they are solving other people's problems, usually relatives' problems, but not their own development. And this creates a lot of tension within families.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Josanne Kutaya.
Thank you.
For being with us today on Research Matters. It was a very interesting discussion about Bormela, and I look forward to coming to your workshop. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do hope you can join us again next week for another edition of Research Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.